Welcome to Comment with me, George Galloway, here on Press TV, still the voice of the voiceless. This is the big conversation. It's the great debate, but it can only be a debate if you joined in. That's why, above all, I need your telephone calls on 44208-601-4555. You call us, we'll call you back, establish a clear line, and remember, if you get on the television with me, the volume on your television has to be down at zero, or no one will understand either of us. You can also SMS the show on 44780008066, or you can email me at comment@presstv.co.uk. Now, happy Nowruz, happy New Year. 1392 it is in that ancient solar calendar, celebrated throughout Iran, Afghanistan, Tajikistan, and many, many other countries, as many as 20 on a popular level. It's 1392 for them, whatever year it is for you. The same grim realities in the Middle East are confronting us today as yesterday. In Iraq, exactly 10 years ago, Baghdad and other cities were set ablaze in a murderous assault, shock and awe, by the armed forces, principally of the United States of America. And I'm sorry to say, despite the efforts of millions of us here in this country, the armed forces of the United Kingdom. The BBC Panorama programme has just broken absolutely incontestable proof that the UK and US intelligence agencies knew for months that the statements being made by the British and American leaders about Iraq's possession of weapons of mass destruction was no more and no less than a blatant, brazen lie. But they said nothing. And of course, the primary responsibility for that lies with the politicians, not with the intelligence services. But if we now have a state, or rather two, where the intelligence services know that the government is lying and taking their countries, and indeed the world, into a cataclysmic conflict which cost the lives of more than a million people, sent fanaticism, extremism cascading around the world, made millions of people refugees, broke a country into several smaller pieces, then you would have thought that that was a matter of importance for the political class on each side of the Atlantic. Not so far, at least. President Obama, the president of the said United States of America, is currently traipsing around what they call Israel, celebrating what he said was the eternal, very important word, the eternal relationship between the United States and the Zionist state. It's true that President Obama did say that the Palestinians, quote unquote, deserved a state. I suppose they've been good boys for long enough. He didn't say where that state would be. He didn't say how it would be created. He didn't say when it would arrive. He did condemn Israel's latest proposed new illegal settlements, but he did nothing about the illegal settlements that they've already built using United States money. So that's the agenda for tonight. We look forward to your calls, your SMS, your emails on these two topics. And of course, these are my views. They're not the views of Press TV. They're not the views of any government. And if you have different views, then I very much want to hear from you. And if you have different views, your call, your SMS, your email will be prioritized. These are the headlines for today. But of course, it's an auspicious day in many other regards also. Iraq, 10 years ago, was subject to this bombardment, this shock and awe, which ended up killing a million people, drove 3 million Iraqis out of the country as refugees, and set in motion, as those of us who opposed the war predicted that it would, a cascade of fanaticism, extremism, some of which is still being played out every day on the streets of Iraq. Just yesterday, another murderous sectarian assault by extremist fanatics upon Shia Muslims in Iraq cost the lives of dozens, maybe scores of people, and the injuries ran into the hundreds. the facts are that the extremism that this war predictably unleashed has not stopped reverberating ever since the first of those bombs dropped. And that reverberation has cascaded around London, around New York, and around many other places too. Ahmad is in London, one of the places where that extremism did cascade on 7/7/2005. 55 people were killed and hundreds were maimed, many for the rest of their lives, as a clear, indirect consequence of shock and awe. Ahmad is in London, wants to talk about Iraq. Ahmad, welcome to the show.
Hi, Mr. Hi, how are you?
I'm very well, thanks.
But, Mr. George, I'd like to ask some questions. Just listen, please. The stamp of the car bombs, the bombs, when they tested, they found it made of Iran, made in Iran. And you?
Which car bomb? Iran. Which car bomb, Ahmad?
The bombs, all bombs, there is a stamp, and Qasim Atta, which is one of Maliki's leaders.
Are you talking about the car bombs yesterday that murdered all those Shiites? You saying no? That was made in Iran?
But okay, let me tell you something. What the militia Sadr and Badr, both from Iran, they come when America invaded Iran, Iraq. They both from Iran, they killing each other, they fighting each other. This is one. And secondly, you have to know very carefully, and you when this Maliki, when American invade Iraq, all this militia and Iranian, they America to invade Iraq, all this problem is, and the Iranian have a big, I mean, look at what they doing in Iraq. They everybody have a, the airplane, there is coming to Baghdad, and take weapons to Bashar Assad, and Bashar Assad killing innocent people.
Well, look, Ahmad, we had this argument last week, and frankly, you're not making any more sense this week than you did last week, indeed less. All I heard from that tirade was the word Iran, 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 Iranian. You'd think it was Iran that had invaded and destroyed Iraq. It wasn't. It was the country you're living in and that I sit in the parliament for, the United Kingdom and the United States. You know the United Kingdom and the United States. Those are the two countries you are currently supporting invading Syria. And that's the point I made to you last week. And it's one that you just cannot get away from. And I'm not going to allow you to get away from it. You were against the UK-US bombardment, invasion, occupation, and dismemberment of Iraq. So was I. You support the US, UK, Saudi, Qatari, Israeli invasion, bombardment, potential occupation, and certain dismemberment of Syria. I do not. That's the difference between you and me. I opposed it in Iraq. I oppose it in Syria. You opposed it in Iraq and support it in Syria. That spells one word for me, and that word is sectarian. You're in favor of the crusaders invading and occupying countries as long as it suits your sectarian agenda. And I hope that that's the last time I hear from you, because frankly, that kind of sick double standards and hypocrisy just makes me sick. Syed is in London. He wants to talk about both these subjects, Iraq and so-called Israel. Syed, welcome to the show.
Good morning, George.
Good evening to you. George. Go ahead, sir.
Good evening, George.
Yes, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi. How are you today?
By the grace of God, I'm good. Thank you. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was in Palestine last year, 2012. Mm-hmm. I went to West Bank.
Yeah.
Yeah, what I saw in the West Bank is completely, it's not acceptable by the Islamic country. Everywhere when they, all I can see the Hebrew sign and everything, is like a hostile city they're living in. And it's really, really sad. Everywhere I went to, there's lots of checkpoint and everything. They're pulling army or gun and everything, which is people are living in like a hostile city. And what I would like to say, I actually blame all the Muslim people. The reason is, if you look at every Europe country, no one is fighting. Only if every Muslim country, you look at every Muslim country in a fighting.
Well, they are fighting, Syed. They are fighting, brother Syed. The problem is they're fighting each other. They're fighting each other in Pakistan. They're fighting each other In Syria, they're fighting each other. In Iraq, they previously fought each other. In Libya, there's an ummah out there of 1.7 billion people. And the state of Israel has 7 million people. I don't know the multiple there, but the multiple is so vast that it's an absurdity that the mosque, the holy mosque, which I was in exactly 20 years ago this day, that the holy mosque, from the roof of which the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, ascended to the heavens and came back with a part of the revelation, is in the hands of foreign occupiers this last 45 years. And the Muslim Ummah has not been able effectively to lift a finger to come to its rescue. Never mind the rescue of the millions of Palestinians who have been occupied, besieged, annexed, or scattered across the world as exiles. What do you say, Syed?
When I went there, is everywhere I have to go. I have to show my passport. I have to to check and everything. That is totally unacceptable. What I'd like to say is, I mean, if all the Muslims get united by the grace of God, then I think that wouldn't be a much, much better place. If you, as I said, if you look at all the Europe countries, they're not fighting, they're not killing their own brother. Only Muslims, they're talking of, they're fighting the Shia and Sunni. Regardless Shia and Sunni, but at least they believe in one God. And if you are united, then I'm sure Muslim will be a very, very strong state. If you look at the whole world, look at the United Nations, look at the NATO, why they get together. The reason is they can fight back. They can fight back against any country. But what Muslim is, they're supporting each other to put their own brother. That is really, really sad and upsetting.
Amin, Syed. That's the whole point of my discourse on this show, to try and make it clear that whilst the British are responsible for the original sin in Palestine, whilst the United States make all Israeli oppression possible, the real culprits in this picture are the leaders of the Muslim world, and the masses of the Muslim world cannot be separated from that culpability, because if the leaders won't come to the rescue of Al-Aqsa, then the masses have to force them to do so, and if they will not, the masses have to substitute them for other rulers. That seems to me a truth self-evident. Syed, thanks for that call. Hussein's on the line from Bahrain on these two subjects. Hussein, welcome. Go ahead, sir. Hussein?
Hello, yeah.
Go ahead, Hussein. You're on the air.
Yeah, George, I'm first time talking to you.
You're welcome. Go ahead.
I'm just glad that I can talk to you now.
Welcome.
Our issue is regarding the Iraq. Okay. what I mean that Iraq has been attacked by the Americans. What was the reason behind? Why did the Americans attack Iraq? You see, there must be a reason.
Let me tell you, Hussein, as you're on the line from Bahrain, what the Bahraini Prime Minister said to me personally, face to face, in his office. You'll know him. He's been the Prime Minister since 1963 until now. Nobody ever elected him as Prime Minister, but he is the King's uncle, and that's why he's the Prime Minister. That's why people in Bahrain are demanding one man, one woman, one vote, and democracy, so they can choose their own prime minister. But this is what the so-called prime minister of Bahrain said to me just a few years ago. He said they asked us to collaborate in the murder of our brother, Iraq. And we did. And now we are paying the price. Politeness precluded my asking him what kind of prince, for he styles himself a prince, what kind of prince does whatever they tell him to do, and what kind of man murders his own brother? And that conversation could have been repeated. At least he was honest enough to admit that. could have been repeated, with all these rulers who are now puffing out their chests and telling us how Sunni they are, whilst 10 years ago were collaborating with the British and American governments for the destruction of Iraq, for the setting of Iraq on fire, for the deaths of a million Iraqis, for the torture scenes in Abu Ghraib, for a decade nearly of foreign occupation of Iraq. And now they want to tell us that the main enemy is Iran, the main enemy is the Shiites, whilst they were collaborating openly with the British and American governments in the murder of their brother. Think about it, Hussein. Andreas is on the line from Cyprus, which is having quite a few problems of its own at the moment. But Andreas wants to talk to us about what they call Israel. Andreas, welcome to the show.
Good evening.
Good evening, brother. Nice to hear from you again.
Thank you very much. I just want to say I was very excited about 5 years ago when Obama was elected president of the United States. But I am very, very disappointed. I mean, he hasn't done anything to help the Palestinians. He hasn't done anything to help my country, Cyprus, to solve our problem. And I don't mean to sound bleak, but I think we're not going to see a solution for the Palestinians or for Cyprus, the way things are going, for the next couple of hundreds of years. I don't mean to sound so, but the way Obama's going, he offers me no hope whatsoever.
Well, I agree. I agree with that up to a point, Andreas, but I must return to a point I made just a few minutes ago. The Arabs alone could solve the Palestinian question in a couple of weeks. If the Arab oil producers, and I'm sure that Iran would be prepared to join them, I'm sure that Venezuela would be prepared to join them, were to say that until the apartheid wall is demolished, until the illegal settlements in Palestine are evacuated, until there is a Palestinian state, until there is a Palestinian flag flying from the Church of the Holy Sepulchre and flying on the battlements of the Al-Aqsa Mosque, until then, the United States will get no oil from us. Palestine would be free, just like that, Andreas. Just the very threat of that would bring that apartheid wall tumbling down. But these oil-producing Arab puppets are not prepared to do what the Saudi king did in 1973 and threaten, indeed, implement an oil embargo which quadrupled the price of oil in the world and forced important changes in Western policy within a few days. Andreas, what do you say?
God bless you.
Andreas, thanks very much, and God bless the people of Cyprus in their current travails. Momolu is in Paris and wants to talk about Israel. Momolu, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Mr. Galloway, for welcoming you on your program. I think this is my first or second time taking part on this program.
Welcome.
And I'm very happy to be on air today. It's very interesting to hear people considering America to be one of the best countries in the world. But I just want to invite your audience who always have this kind of thought to visit the internet website on YouTube. There is a man in America, a black man in America called Louis Farrakhan. This is a man who has exposed American ways around the world. The dirty deeds Americans have always been in, destroying other people's countries. This is the man who has exposed the American government's foreign relations in connection with other countries around the world. So I want to visit most of your commentators who are always considering America to be one of the best countries in the world to watch this man and actually listen to his speeches. His name is Louis Farrakhan, the minister.
Well, I'll tell you what, Momolu, I've made quite a few speeches on that subject myself, and people can go to YouTube and watch them. The reality is that America is a great country, from sea to shining sea. It is one of God's most blessed places. The American people, with their can-do spirit and with their technological advancement, with the cultural depth, which especially many sections of the United States has, their prowess in sports, their space program. The United States is a great country, but it is a country that should stay in the United States. That's all. They should attend to their own business, make their country even greater. Stop occupying other people's countries. Stop ringing other countries with military bases. Stop buying five times the amount of military weaponry of all the other countries in the world put together. I could go on, Mamalu, but Gary from Halifax, Nova Scotia in Canada, one of my best callers, he's on the line too, and I don't want to keep him waiting. Gary, go ahead, sir.
Good evening, George. It's very interesting that you just gave that sort of homage to the American spirit, that is the spirit of the American people, as distinct from the activities of their government.
Yeah.
What I wanted to talk about this evening was the it's becoming like the United Slaughterhouse of America as far as the way their government operates. And their president has declined in stature to the level of what we like to call Dr. Death. So you have Dr. Death from the United Slaughterhouse of America visiting Zionesia yesterday and today and tomorrow. And the whole illusion that is set up is that this is the two separate sovereign countries meeting. The fact of the matter is that the manner in which the so-called State of Israel was launched as a so-called state, a sovereign state, the United States was very much involved in making sure that this thing called Israel would always be under their thumb. And it's very interesting how this took place, and I'm sure a lot of the listeners may be interested in this. In 1947-48, in addition to what was going on in the Middle East, the United States was very concerned with what was going on in Nicaragua, where a man that that FDR had hailed as a dictator, this Somoza, the original General Somoza, he had said, he may be a son of a bitch, but he's our son of a bitch. Somoza had been an outright dictator, slaughtered tens of thousands of peasants led by Augusto Sandino and so forth. But finally, after the Second World War, they had to reorganize, and the Americans said, you better get elected, stop being a dictator. So, fine, they held elections. And the way it worked, George, was that the new government of this elected man would have two open seats in his cabinet for American officials to fill at any time of their choosing. So their government would actually function on the basis of U.S. officials being in Managua and giving the orders. Now, how does that relate to the State of Israel? Well, Nicaragua the Nicaragua of the Somoza dictatorship had a very interesting relationship with the establishment of the Zionist state. It was one of the places from which massive quantities of arms were smuggled into Palestine. The present president of the State of Israel, Shimon Peres, he was very much involved in all this, and he's actually made references to this from time to time. But the interesting connection that I want to bring out here is that when Israel finally had to come up with, they don't call it a constitution, they call it a basic law, because they never held a constituent assembly in Israel because there were problems trying to do that with accommodating the Palestinians. So they set up this basic law, and this basic law makes provision for representatives of something called the World Zionist Movement.
Ah, now you're onto it. The World Zionist Movement based in the United States of America. Gary, we got your picture. I'll be right back, God willing, in 2 or 3 minutes.
Yeah.
Welcome back to Comment with me, George Galloway, here on Press TV, still the voice of the voiceless. Just before the break, the legendary Gary in Halifax, Nova Scotia, in Canada, gave us a wonderful history lesson about the role of Nicaragua under its previous dictatorship in being a main conduit of American arms to what became the State of Israel, or at least as described by some. He made the point that at least the Nicaraguan dictatorship was open and honest. They kept two seats in their cabinet for American officials. Countries like Britain were a bit embarrassed to do that, but they might as well have kept, in the Blair years especially, they might as well have kept two seats in the British cabinet for President Bush's representatives. And Gary was making the point that Israel and the United States are not meaningfully two separate countries, because every crime committed by Israel can only happen because of what President Obama called this week the eternal relationship between the two countries. Every bomb, every rocket, every bullet, every airplane, every tank, every warship, the salary of every soldier, and every bullet that they fire from their snipers' rifles are all paid for by the United States of America. And Israel cannot do anything that the United States really disapproves of. Which is why I indicated earlier that the target has to be the United States of America. Of course, we must fight against Zionism and its apartheid state ideology wherever we are. But if the friends of America, if the people who've put their people's money in the banks of America, in the stock market of America, who does exactly what the United States tells it to do, if they stop doing so, America will force Israel to change and disgorge that which it has swallowed whole. Mehdi's on the line in London, wants to talk about this very subject. Mehdi, welcome to the show, my friend. Go ahead.
Thank you very much, George. It's about Palestinian. Well, I listened to the Obama's speech, and I did listen to the one he did in Israel and the one in the with Abbas, Mahmoud Abbas. You know, when he was there, he had a lot of talking with a lot of energy. And then he said, "We're Hebrew, so you are not alone at all." But when it comes to the Palestinian, he was telling them, "You are alone." That what he meant, the way he said, "You and the Israel, we have to be in one room together, without anyone." Yes. And then when Mr. Abbas was talking about the history of the taking land, Israeli are taking the Palestinian land all the time. He said, "Well, we are not happy about that." You know what I mean? But so what you have done, they should ask him the question, what have you done against it? What you haven't done?
Well, of course, Mehdi, not only have they done nothing against them to punish them for that which they say they disapprove of, they continue endlessly to reward the people that they say they disapprove of. President Obama was caught on microphone in Cannes, in the south of France, talking to the then President Sarkozy of France, and both of them agreed that they couldn't stand to look at the face of Netanyahu. They were open about it. They couldn't even bear to look at his face, and they thoroughly disapproved, it appeared, of what Israel does. But they continued to pay for it and arm it. And that means they don't meaningfully disapprove of it at all. Thanks, Mehdi. Here's Niall, another great caller in Ireland on the same subject. Niall, welcome back.
Cheers, George.
Go ahead, sir.
Good show as always.
Great.
Good show as always there.
Thank you, brother.
Okay. First of all, George, I just want to talk about Palestine. I think Gary hit the nail on the head when he drew the comparison, the direct comparisons between Somoza's Nicaragua and the founding of the so-called State of Israel there. And You know, George, that's the reason why, you know, America and the West is in hock, or ad hoc to Israel. It's because of the influence of a lobby, a Zionist lobby, that pays off a lot of American politicians, you know. And Barack Obama, he can go to the Middle East, he can go to what's left of Palestine, the 22 or so percent of it, and he can talk wax lyrical about peace and a peace settlement. But, George, you know as well as I know, George, that the Palestinians in 2013, they are no closer to going back to their homes, to their villages, to their churches, to their mosques than they were in 1948 when they were driven out initially. Because, George, the two-state solution, if it even did exist, it's simply just dead in the water. It doesn't exist anymore because, you know, the Israelis are just building the settlements. They're constantly changing the goalposts the whole time. And the Palestinians, all they get is to be herded into Bantu stands and experience Israeli-style Jim Crow laws, where they get to ride on Palestinian Arab-only buses.
Well, Niall, you hit the several nails on the head there. The only thing that I would demur from is who's in hock to who. It's Israel that's in hock to the United States. It's true that there is a Zionist lobby. It's very powerful, particularly at a congressional and senatorial level. It's not meaningful, actually, in the presidential election. In an electorate of 120 million or whatever it is, the presence of that Zionist lobby, however defined, is not meaningful, at least not decisive. And as you know, both of the main parties in the United States are both on their knees in front of the American-Israel Public Affairs Committee. I concede that absolutely. But none of this would happen if it did not suit the people who are the real power in the United States, the real oligarchy in the United States. The state, the deep state itself, supports Israel and still has not come to the conclusion that Israel is no more a strategic asset, but has become a strategic liability. But that dawning is on its way. And more people in the United States and more powerful people in the United States have so concluded. So I don't believe with what Andreas said in his call from Cyprus that the Palestinians are hundreds of years away from being able to return to their homes. I'm much, much more optimistic than that. When I started out in 1975 as a supporter of the PLO, you could have fitted all the supporters of the PLO in Britain in this studio and had room for several elephants at the back of the room. Now we are millions, hundreds of millions around the world who believe that Palestine is the key, is central to the relationship between East and West, between the Muslim world and the non-Muslim world. And that if there is no justice, there will be no peace. And if there's no peace there, there will be no peace in the world. That recognition has been hard won. The Palestinians have had to sacrifice a very great deal to bring that recognition about. But it's there now, Niall, and it will never be turned back. Combe is on the line from Holland, the Netherlands. He wants to talk about both of these subjects. Combe, welcome back to the show.
Yeah, thank you very much for having me, Mr. Galloway.
Brother, go ahead.
Yeah, concerning Palestinian and the Israelis there, I think the problem here is that there is no peace, there's no true peace maker between the two sides. I think for peace to prevail there, the Americans will need to be an ally of both the Palestinians and the Israelis. But once they are an ally of a particular group, I think it will bring problem there.
I'm not sure what you mean. Develop that point further.
I mean, what I'm saying here is the Americans are an ally of a particular group, the Israelis. But if
of course, that's why it's Combe. That's why it's a mistake to talk about two sides. I mean, it's like Goliath and David being described as as two sides. One is a giant and one is small. One is supported by the hyperpower in the world. The other has almost no support at all. Indeed, I can think of only two or three countries in the entire world that are actually practically supporting the Palestinians in this totally unequal power relationship. And that's what we've got to change, isn't it? Your country, the Netherlands, and my country frequently vie with each other as to who can be the most slavish supporter of Israel. Isn't that right?
Yeah, I think for justice to prevail is...
We must have lost Combi in the Netherlands. What a pity. Just as he was about to tell us what needed to happen if justice was to be done. 10 years ago, this very day, Iraq was under murderous bombardment by the armed forces, principally of the United Kingdom and especially the United States. The attack was mounted by the use of many collaborators from the regimes alongside Iraq. They collaborated in the destruction of their neighbor. They collaborated in the murder of a million people in the country that neighbored them. They collaborated in the scattering of millions of Iraqis around the world as refugees. They collaborated in what has become a state of extremism in the world, where fanaticism has showered across the world in rage against the crimes that were committed on Iraq 10 years ago. Quite a record, you might say, especially when, as the BBC itself has revealed this very week, the security services of the US and the UK knew for months before this attack on Iraq was mounted that it was all based on a lie, a big towering lie taller than the Tower of Babel itself. Anyway, here's Enshemi from South Africa who wants to talk about Israel. Enshemi, welcome back. Go ahead. Alaikum salam, brother. Go ahead.
How are you?
By the grace of God, good. Go ahead.
Before I talk, I just want to say thank you very much for your show and thank you for all the wonderful work that you're doing.
Thank you.
I'm a little bit nervous, you know. I don't normally call even all local networks and shortcomings.
That's okay. Take your time. Take your time.
Okay. Thank you, George. George, I just want to say to you that simply, you know, you should know that you inspire us, you remind us, you challenge us, you encourage us. And I pray that, you know, Allah give you more and more years.
Thank
and
you,
keep you healthy so that you can continue to do the wonderful work that you're doing.
Thank you, brother.
You know, George, the more you continue to do such work, the more you will continue to inspire us. And I always pray to God that we should have more churches in our lives. And I'm telling you, George, if we have more churches, the world will be a much better place. And the more you do the work, the more you inspire us. Inshallah, there will be more churches.
Thank you, Enshemi. I really appreciate that, and I'm touched by that. And a big salute to all my friends in South Africa. It's about time I was back there. It's a long time since I gave a series of speeches in your country, and I have a long history with it. So maybe we'll try to put something on later in the year. And I appreciate everything that you said. We have a call from China. It may be the first. It's from Guangzhou, from Rashid, and he wants to talk about Israel. Rashid in Guangzhou, in China. Welcome. Go ahead. Oh, Rashid, don't tell me you've dropped off the line. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
By the grace of God, we're talking to China, the great People's Republic of China. Go ahead.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much. I think today Obama in Israel, he sends some message to Arab country or and Islam countries all.
Yes, he did. He did. He sent them the message. He sent them the message that he doesn't care a damn what they think. His eternal relationship is with Israel.
I'm so sorry, my English is so bad. But I said that's when he said, "Is you are not alone. I'm here with you." I think it's like a Michael Jackson song.
You're right. It is a kind of popular music lyric. But the problem is, he means it. And you know what's even more despicable, Rashid? He knows different. He knows because the late and great Professor Edward Said taught him all that he needed to know about the reality of the Palestine question. And so he knows it. He knows that it's true. But he goes to what they call Israel and he lies. And he sells his soul to the devil in his declaration of eternal support for what they call Israel. It's very, very hard to bear for me as someone who had such hopes in him. Rashid in Guangzhou in China. Don't be a stranger. Abdul Salam from Saudi Arabia is on the line now to talk about Iraq. Abdul Salam, welcome to the show. Go ahead, sir.
Thank you. Thank you, my brother, and I salute you again.
Thank you, brother.
My brother, I want to comment on Iraq.
Yes, go ahead.
Now we are in 10 years in Iraq. Before the 10 years, Iraq was Iraq. But today, Iraq was in pieces.
Yes.
Totally pieces. Every day, every night, every evening, every hour, every second, every minute, Iraq citizen would die. People die in Iraq like chickens. Because of what? Because of American. Because of George Bush and Tony Blair. Why don't world stand and put them to justice so that they, those who before them or those who after them will also learn a lesson so that this kind of Iraq will not repeat it. I wonder why still world was just leave them. They are just going where, particularly this Tony Blair. I always see him on media, on television, going here, going here, going here. Why don't world put them to justice? They have to. They have to face the justice.
Well, look, I'm gonna stop you there because that's the call of the night so far. I'm going to leave it hanging in the air. I'm speaking twice in the British Parliament next week, God willing, on Monday night on the economy, on the budget debate, and on Tuesday on this very subject. And I promise you, Abdul Salam, that I will give reflection to the point of view you have, which is shared by hundreds of millions of people around the world. I promise you that by the time I'm finished with my speech on Tuesday, then Mr. Blair will be in no doubt about the rage and the contempt which you and I and many, many others feel about him. Now, let's move on to Sheikh Rafael from New Jersey in the United States of America. Sheikh, welcome to the show. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, thank you, Judge. And I have a question about the Iraq.
Yeah.
The problem is the one Bush administration had invasion into the Iraq. It was they were thinking the mass Saddam Hussein has the mass destruction of weapons, and second link to the Al Qaeda. Third, they want to democracy in Iraq. So my ultimate question is that what is that democracy? What is the mass destruction of weapons? And Saddam Hussein eventually don't have any link to the Al Qaeda. So it was based on false information he got from his intelligence, and also, you know, he has, when he got into White House, I would say first day, he was trying to invade the Iraq, and which is really fact, and he did it. And also, I want to talk about one more point, because last week I called, last minute I didn't get you, the problems, a conflict in Syria. All the Muslim people in the Middle East right now is Syrian people are fighting against insurgents, and led by Western back and also regional countries, more specifically Qatar and the Saudi Arabia. So my ultimate point is, though, in order to bring the justice and peace, so we must analyze our own problem.
So well, that's right, and that's what I've been saying constantly, Sheikh. I need to cut you off only for this reason, that we're running out of time. I will respond in a moment to what you said, but Ahmad is on the line from Senegal, and we haven't had a call from Senegal before, I believe. Ahmad, welcome to the show. Go ahead, sir, quickly.
Hello, sir.
Yes, go ahead, sir. You're on the air.
I've been very impressed by the performance of President Obama when he came to visit Israel. My question for you, someone who has been a witness for a very long time of the politics of the United States vis-a-vis the Arab world, how come that when Obama, I mean, obviously, he knows the truth. He's lying. He knows that when he say, I'm with you, I'm standing with you, and say that to the people of Palestine, he knows that he's not telling the truth. How come that nobody is telling anything and everybody just shut their mouth?
Well, we're not here at Press TV, Ahmad, because we give voice to the voiceless in our news coverage and in programs like this, and we're glad that you have joined us. My words are strong, but I chose them carefully. President Obama is a liar. He knows the truth. He knows what needs to be done. He knows who's the guilty party in Palestine. He knows who the victims are and who the aggressors are. Who are the people who have had their country stolen and who stole it? He knows all of that. And so his performance over the last 48 hours is the more reprehensible, the more despicable, the more contemptible. I hold him, his administration, my own prime minister, his administration, in absolute contempt. But Ahmad, there's one group of people for whom my contempt is literally bottomless and exceeds my contempt for Bush and Blair, Obama and Cameron. It's the leaders of the Muslim countries who have left the Palestinian people alone, as they left the Iraqis alone 10 years ago this week, as they are ready to follow the orders of the foreign rulers, the crusaders and the former colonial powers in country after country after country. That's my point, Ahmad. I'm glad that you joined us and gave us yours. God willing, go in peace.
Hello, just comment the name and the place you left my number. And just make sure that your television volume is set to 0. So
zero. Can you spell your name for me?
Yeah, I know. You redirect me for 3 minutes.